We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. In the first 30 minutes or so of the show, we're going to talk to Ted Pike at the National Prayer Network. Ted has an update for all of us on hate crimes legislation. Folks, you have to really tune into what's going on with this, because the fundamental character of your First Amendment rights and mine is, in my judgment, being threatened by what is going on with this hate bill situation. And Ted will, of course, give us that update this morning. Phil Turney of the Liberty Hour will join me sometime after that to discuss Gaza and the Israeli lobby, some of the things that are going on in Phil's own life and in the lives of his family members, as it continues to relate to the fact that the American defense and foreign policy in the Middle East, which has had an impact on Phil's life since 1967 at least, continues to impact his family. Ted Pike, how are you this morning, sir?
Real good. Thanks for having me, Mark.
Yes, I understand that Sheila Jackson Lee down here in Texas has introduced at the federal level a couple of pieces of hate crimes legislation. Take it away from there and explain this to us, Ted, and what the implications are.
Yes, last Wednesday, Sheila Jackson Lee, a Democrat from your state of Texas, introduced actually two federal hate crimes bills. The first one is basically a condensed version of the big federal hate law that we have been fighting for the last 10 years. It's called the David Ray Hate Crimes Prevention Act. And the bill number on that is H.R. 256. And actually, I had an extended conversation with Jackson Lee's legislative aide there. Actually, he's the judiciary expert for her. And he told me that there is so much criticism going around in Congress right now against the whole idea of hate crimes legislation. He says that the Christian conservative complaint that hate laws take away free speech has percolated Congress, and actually he expressed fears that the hate bill can't go through. And as a result of this, he says two bills have been created for that contingency. First is the standard hate crimes bill, but then a new bill, H.R. 262, which is called the David Ray Richardson Hate Crimes Prevention Act, has been concocted. And this is a softer piece of hate crimes legislation, which will, yes, it will allow the federal government to invade states' rights, but for the purposes of education, coming down in and having prerogatives to prevent hate crimes through education. And, of course, this is filled with implications of the ADL and all of their propaganda and their anti-Christian messages going out into the schools against homophobia and so on. Anyway, this second bill is designed to be a softer version that will not only educate on the local level, but also it's a program to provide financial compensation for people who claim to have been victims of hate crimes, and that probably would amount to a lot of homosexuals. And again, we can see the selective morality, the bias, even in this legislation, that if you are the victim of an assault under normal circumstances, that you have had a fist fight or you've had some kind of a riot or whatever, then you don't get any financial compensation. But if there's some kind of bias on the other end, some kind of prejudice against you, then this new bill will set up a program to take care of your needs and so on. So what we have here is a kind of a sleeper bill in 262 that wants to come in under benign and altruistic auspices. They're hoping that this second bill, if the first bill doesn't get through, they're hoping the second one will not offend the members of Congress and they'll pass it easily.
Well, looking at the fact that we now have a new Congress, Ted, and we are going to have a liberal Democratic president as of January 20th, based upon just how close these margins of defeat for these hate crimes bills have been in the past, What's the prognosis for passage this time, given the change in political configuration in Washington?
Well, the chances of passage have never been better, really. Despite what this aide told me, as you say, we have a Democratic president who is sworn to make the hate bill law. We have heads of the parties in the House and the Senate who are in favor of the hate bill. We have a majority of members of Congress in favor of the hate bill. So we're going to have to fight this really hard. We're going to have to take it very seriously because our free speech and all our other freedoms are on the line. And what I'm telling people to do is they should call immediately to their members of Congress. And at truthtellers.org, we have the complete list of the latest list of the new members of Congress. Just go to truthtellers.org. You can find out who your member of Congress is. But this aide also told me that for about the next 3 weeks, the economic stimulus package is totally preoccupying Congress, so the hate bill is not really going to move forward too much in that time. However, he said around the 1st of January, they're wanting to start really moving it forward. So that gives us a grace period here of several weeks in which we can start intensive calling of our members of Congress. And I have an e-alert at my website, truthtellers.org, in which I describe how we most successfully destroyed the hate bill and about 5 or 6 other pieces of Orwellian legislation last year. And in a word, what we did last year was we concentrated our firepower on the 40 members of the House Judiciary Committee. You see, the hate bills are going into the House Judiciary Committee. They will be the first to consider it and then move it on. If they pass it, they'll move it on to the docket and a vote in the House. So they are crucial links there between introduction and final passage of the hate bill. What we did last year was we, for about 3 weeks in mid-February, we had listeners to alternative talk radio and readers on the Internet and so on just intensely call the 40 members of the House Judiciary Committee. And what happened last year was the Republicans of the judiciary were just amazed at the outpouring of public concern and anger and against the federal hate bill, and they got creative. They the 11 members that introduced no less than 11 amendments trying to water down the hate bill, and for a week in Congress, this was the talk of the town as these feisty Republicans, very much out of character, were rousing and going after the hate bill. And the hate bill did finally pass in the House, but on the other hand, their initial zeal and courage gave spirit to about 180 Republicans and resulted in an antagonism and opposition to not only the hate bill, but, as I say, about 5 or 6 other pieces of Orwellian legislation. And in short, it caused a complete collapse of the Democratic agenda of civil rights legislation in the 110th Congress. And what I'm saying in this e-alert, which people can read at truthtellers.org, is that we have to continue and replicate that strategy which worked so powerfully in the previous Congress. So in several weeks, once the 20 new members of the judiciary are seated, I will be publishing that list of the 40 members of the House Judiciary. I will be on talk radio and writing on the Internet, calling people to communicate to those members of the House Judiciary. Let's see if we can get some fight going in there and getting this issue very controversial on Capitol Hill. And all of that, I believe, will increase our chances to repeat the successes we had last year.
When do you anticipate this thing will move from the House Judiciary Committee, both of these pieces of legislation? What are we looking at, H.R. 256 and H.R. 262? When do you anticipate these might move from the Judiciary Committee to the full floor of the House, or do you think there's a chance we can still bottle them up in committee?
Well, I think there's no doubt that they're going to go they're going to go forward. There's no doubt about that. And this aide told me that after the 1st of February, if they can get the economic stimulus package under control, there's going to be a real concerted effort to begin discussing. And he said there will be hearings held on this in the House Judiciary Committee. So there again, we have another opportunity, a window of opportunity to give our sound off to these members. And also, I would love to have some expert witnesses there to tell about what has happened under hate crimes laws in Canada and European countries and so on. One of the most incredible oversights in any testimony about the hate bill, even by good people, is that they try to confine this to legal issues as if this has never been tried in the world before. Fact is, matter has been tried many times in all of these countries of the Western nations with tremendous loss of freedom of speech.
When we come back with Ted Pike, we'll look at some specific examples of how this has happened both in Canada and Europe. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio on RBN. Stay tuned. We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined in the first part of the show by Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network. He's been bringing us up to date on hate crimes legislation and the fact that Representative Sheila Jackson Lee of Texas, a Democrat, has now reintroduced a couple of pieces of legislation that are designed to destroy your First Amendment rights and mine and everyone else's who believes in the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. These pieces of legislation are titled the David Ray Hate Crimes Prevention Act of 2009, also known as H.R. 256. And this is a condensed version of the longer Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act, also known as H.R. 1592. And Jackson Lee has also submitted a new companion bill entitled the David Ray Richardson Hate Crimes Prevention Act of 2009, also known as H.R. 262. For purposes of clarity, these are H.R. 256, H.R. 1592, and H.R. 262. Ted, in terms of talking about how this has impacted Canada and Europe, give us some specific examples of what has happened there and why we would have every reason to be concerned about this happening in this country.
Well, I'll give you a little history lesson first. Back in 1971, the Anti-Defamation League, which is a Jewish activist organization, persuaded Parliament to pass their federal hate crimes bill. And they claimed that this legislation would never threaten free speech. Rather, it was an honest and upright attempt to end violent hate crimes against privileged minorities, such as homosexuals, in Canada. It would give empowerment to the federal government to stop hate speech, which leads to violent crime, and so on. And so, with that view in mind, Parliament quickly passed the federal hate crimes bill up there. And soon, however, in the provincial legislatures, in the courts, the Liberals of Canada quickly broadened that, not just against violent hate crimes. They broadened it against verbal violence against homosexuals. What they said was any kind of speech, particularly speech coming from the Bible and Leviticus and Romans, was actually hate speech because it held up homosexuals to hatred and contempt. Now, as a result of that, many Christians now have been indicted and prosecuted under the hate crimes law of Canada for their speech. For example, I'll give you one of the most recent ones is Reverend Stephen Boysen, who a year or so ago did nothing more than write a letter to the local newspaper critical of homosexuality. He was indicted, he was found guilty, he was fined $7,000 and the government demanded that he apologize to the homosexual community of Canada. Boysen refuses to apologize to them, therefore he remains guilty in the eyes of the law in Canada, and his case is still pending. And certainly, let me just give you another one, was the case of Hugh Owens, in Saskatchewan a number of years ago, he also put a little ad in the newspaper critical of the homosexuality, and he was brought before the hate crimes tribunal. Several homosexuals said that they were terribly hurt by his ad, by his words, which of course were very mild. It was just something like, God wants a man and a woman to be the only relationship of marriage, not men and men. It was something very innocuous like this. But they were terribly hurt. Their delicate feelings were bruised by this condemnation of homosexuality. He ended up having to pay, I forget the exact figure, but it was about $3,500 he had to pay to the homosexuals. He had to pay a fine of $3,500 or something like that. And I could go on and on the cases in Canada in which Christians now, we're not talking about Aryan nations, Ku Klux Klan fanatics and racists and so on. We're talking about evangelical Christians now in Canada being hauled before the hate crimes tribunals. Scott Brockie, it was a printer up in Toronto. The homosexuals came to him saying, we want you to print our stationery and promotional materials. He said, I can't. I'm a Christian. He was also brought before the hate crimes tribunal. He spent $171,000 trying to defend his freedom and bankrupted his printing business. Actually, up in Canada, it's not necessarily punishment of the fine of the government. It's a huge cost, which can go up to several hundred thousand dollars as you defend your freedom.
We'll be back with Ted Pike, and later we'll have Phil Turney on. Stay tuned. We're back. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined first this morning by Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network, bringing us up to speed on what's going on with hate crimes legislation in the United States Congress. Phil Turney of the Liberty Hour will then join me to talk about Gaza and all kinds of things related to Israel and the Israeli lobby. And before we get back to Ted, I wanted to thank Jim Lowe up in Fredericksburg, Texas. There are a couple of items in his Parish Notes newsletter that are noteworthy, including the fact that he mentions that up in Fredericksburg, Texas, Admiral Nimitz's old hometown in the Texas Hill Country, Mark Dankoff's America is now being carried at 99.1 FM in Fredericksburg. That's 99.1 FM up in Fredericksburg, Texas. And if you're looking at Jim Lowe's Parish Notes, you will discover that this is a very excellent newsletter of German Lutheran concerns up in the Texas Hill Country. If you're interested in a subscription to Parish Notes, you can contact Jim Lowe at 830-997-7477. That's 830-997-7477. And again, J.D. Lowe, or Jim Lowe, is the editor of Parish Notes. And not only as mentioned of Mark Dankoff's America at 99.1 FM in Fredericksburg, but he mentions some of the other fine shows on RBN as well, with a reference to Phil Turney's show, The Liberty Hour, at 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. That, of course, is with Mark Glenn of the American Free Press. He and Phil are on RBN on Saturday mornings. And this, again, is being run on 99.1 FM up in Fredericksburg, Texas, home of the late Admiral Nimitz. Back to Ted Pike. Ted, you were talking about this whole business of some specific examples of how this hate crimes legislation has been used in Canada and in Europe. How do you anticipate the Israeli lobby would use hate crimes legislation in the United States based upon what's happened in Canada and in Europe?
Well, already we find that the U.S. Office of Global Anti-Semitism in the U.S. State Department says that any allegation that the Jews had Jesus Christ killed 2,000 years ago is classic anti-Semitism. Several years ago, the ADL was able to set up a front organization in our government, in the U.S. State Department, ostensibly dedicated to ending anti-Semitism. But what it is basically just a front, a facade for the ADL agenda of vilifying and ultimately criminalizing Christianity. The whole purpose of hate crimes legislation is not to protect the delicate feelings of homosexuals. It's not to protect Chicanos and blacks and minorities from white racism and all that kind of thing. The real purpose of all hate crimes legislation is to make it criminal for Christians to believe in the New Testament, believe the Book of Romans, believe the testimony of the Gospels that the Jews had, Jesus Christ, and to believe the Old Testament and teach the Old Testament vilification of sodomy. And you see, when you're a Bible-believing Christian and you cannot compromise on these great moral issues, then if you're criminalized by the laws of the land, you are immediately going to experience persecution. Before we end, we really should give out the toll-free number for our members of Congress. I want people to immediately start calling their members of Congress. As I said earlier, we have a window of opportunity here of several weeks before the hate bill really gets moving through the House Judiciary. People should be blitzing their members of Congress right now. Can I give that number?
Absolutely. Go ahead, Ted.
All right. The toll-free number to your member of Congress, both in the House and the Senate, is 877-851-6437. Again, that toll-free number, 877-851-6437. And now there's a backup toll number, which is 202-225-3121. Again, that toll number is 202-225-3121. Now, if you don't even know your member of Congress, just call. The Capitol Hill operator will ask you for your zip code, and immediately you'll be sent to your members of the House and Senate. And just tell them, please don't vote for any hate crimes legislation. You can also tell them hate laws have taken away free speech in Canada and many European countries. I should also mention that at truthtellers.org, we have a dynamic 10-minute video now explaining the fallacies of hate crimes legislation. Very powerful. It's on YouTube now, and thousands of people are flocking there to watch it. You can watch it at Truth Tellers. It's right there on the homepage. You just click on, and immediately you'll be watching myself as I'm debunking at least three major lies of the hate bill propaganda. Also, we have a flyer at truthtellers.org that you can print out front and back. Again, dynamic arguments against hate crimes legislation in very simple language, plus some more accounts of how the hate laws in Canada and Europe have basically persecuted Christians and will do so in the future, especially if this federal hate crimes bill is passed.
Ted, I wanted to thank you for being on this morning, and also to mention that on the front page of Jim Lowe's Parish Notes newsletter up in Fredericksburg, Texas, that on the very front page of the December 2008 edition is a big block of the paper that says, defend your First Amendment right to freedom of speech. Go on the Internet now to truthtellers.org. Pretty good recommendation for you in South Texas.
Good. Great. That's wonderful. Let's get the word out.
Ted, God bless you. And again, as you're departing this morning, we wanted to thank you for being on, and also to mention to everyone once again, those pieces of hate crimes legislation that we need to oppose are H.R. 256, H.R. 1592, and H.R. 262.
Actually, 1592 is the old hate bill in the House. That's history. H.R. 256 is the new condensed version of the old hate bill.
Gotcha. So we're looking at H.R. 256 and H.R. 262.
That's right.
Ted, keep us posted here, and I wanted to again say that I think the National Prayer Network has, more than any other organization in America, really provided the opposition that has kept this hate crimes thing out of the United States up to this point. And if we're successful again, it will be due in no small measure to the National Prayer Network and to the work of the Reverend Ted Pike.
And the Lord God Almighty. Thanks so much.
God bless, Ted. We'll talk to you again soon.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Folks, I tell you, as you look at the situation with hate crimes legislation, it seems to me that this thing is really going to be brewing on the front burner when it comes to the incoming Congress and the incoming president. Why? Because there is increased opposition out there to what Israel is doing in Gaza and what Israel is doing in the Middle East generally. And the evidence of that is not simply in Canada or in Europe, but it's also right here in the United States. I also think there's a lot of brewing political discontent in this country as a result of what's happened with these bank and brokerage firm bailouts. And as we begin to look at the level of anger that is out there with the American public, justifiable anger, over all of these various things that have happened, it becomes abundantly clear that one means that the establishment has resorted to in the past in several other locales in the world, and what they're trying to do in this country is to eliminate your right and mine to free speech and to criminalize not simply free speech, but freedom of thought. Look out for this sort of thing, because it's just around the corner. And again, as you listen to Ted Pike this morning, it becomes abundantly clear that all of us need to be checking in ongoingly with truthtellers.org to find out what the status is on these two pieces of legislation that have just been introduced by Sheila Jackson Lee into the House, and pressure the House Judiciary Committee specifically, as well as your congressman or congresswoman specifically, to oppose any form, I repeat, any form of this hate crimes legislation.